happy new year to one and all as we're gathered together in this church of the Lord, our hearts. Okay, so we are in Joshua chapter 19 as we're continuing our reading of the word together. So if you would please stand. Joshua chapter 19. Then the second lot fell to Simeon, to the tribe of the sons of Simeon, according to their families. And their inheritance was in the midst of the inheritance of the sons of Judah. So they had as their inheritance Beersheba, or Sheba, and Moladah, and Hazarzul, and Bela, and Ezium, and El-Tilad, and Bethel, and Hormath, and Zikla, and Beth-Marboth, and Hazar-Uzzah, and Beth-Leobeth, and Sharon, 13 cities with their villages, Ain, Rimmon, and Ether, and Ashen, 4 cities with their villages, and all the villages which were around these cities as far as Baalath-Beer, Ramah of the Negev. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Simeon according to their families. The inheritance of the sons of Simeon was taken from the portion of the sons of Judah, for the share of the sons of Judah was too large for them. So the sons of Simeon received an inheritance in the midst of Judah's inheritance. Now the third lot came up for the sons of Zebulun according to their families, and the territory of their inheritance was as far as Sarid. Then their border went up to the west into Merilah, and it then touched Debethjeth and reached to the brook that is before Jokneam. Then it turned from Sarid to the east toward the sunrise as far as the border of Chislath-Tabor, and it proceeded to Dabareth and up to Japhia. And from there it continued eastward toward the sunrise to Gath-Hepher, to Eth-Kazin, and it proceeded to Rimmon, which stretches to Nea. And the border circled around it on the north to Hanathon, and it ended at the valley of Iphthiel. Included also were Kadath and Nahil and Shimron and Idlila and Bethlehem, 12 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the sons of Zebulun according to their families, these cities with their villages. The fourth lot fell to Issachar, to the sons of Issachar, according to their families, and their territory was to Jezreel, and included Chesloth, and Shunem, and Harithim, and Shion, and Anarath, and Rabbath, and Kishon, and Ebez, and Ramoth, and En-Gadim, and En-Hada, and Beth-Pazis, and the border reached to Tabor, and Shashuma, and Beth-Shemesh, and their border ended at the Jordan, 16 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Issachar, according to their families, the cities with their villages. Now the fifth lot fell to the tribe of the sons of Asher, according to their families, and their territory was Helketh, and Hali, and Betan, and Aksaph, and Alamelech, and Amad, and Mishal, and it reached to Carmel on the west, and to Shinhor Libna. And it turned toward the east to Beth-Dagon and reached to Zebulun and to the valley of Iphthiel, northward to Beth-Emek and Nael. And then it proceeded on the north to Kabul and Ebron and Rehob and Haman and Cana as far as Great Sidon. And the border turned to Ramah and to the fortified city of Tyre. And then the border turned to Hosa, and it ended at the sea by the region of Aksib. Included also were Ummah and Apek and Rahab, 22 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Asher according to their families, these cities with their villages. The sixth lot fell to the sons of Naphtali, to the sons of Naphtali according to their families, and their border was from Heleph, from the oak and Zananim, and Adami Nekeb, and Jabneel, as far as Lachem, and it ended at the Jordan. Then the border turned westward to Asnath Tabor, and proceeded from there to Hukuk. And it reached to Zebulun on the south, and touched Asher on the west, and to Judah at the Jordan toward the east. And the fortified cities were Zidim, and Zer, and Hama, Rakoth, and Chinnereth, and Adma, and Ramah, and Hazor, and Kadesh, and Edri, and Enhazor, and Uron, and Migdiel, Horam, and Beth Anath, and Beth Shemesh, 19 cities with their villages. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Naphtali, according to their families, the cities with their villages. The seventh lot fell to the tribe of the sons of Dan, according to their families, and the territory of their inheritance was Zorah, and Eshtolo, and Ir Shemesh, and Shalalibin, and Ajalon, and Ithla, and Elon, and Tibna, and Ekron, and El-Tekek, and Gibthion, and Baalith, and Jehud, and Beni-Barak, and Gath-Rimmon, and Mijarkon, and Rakan, and the territory over against Joppa. And the territory the sons of Dan proceeded beyond them. For the sons of Dan went up and fought with Leshem and captured it. Then they struck it with the edge of the sword and possessed it and settled in it. And they called Leshem Dan after the name of Dan their father. This was the inheritance of the tribe of the sons of Dan according to their families, these cities with their villages. Then they finished apportioning the land for inheritance by its borders. The sons of Israel gave an inheritance in their midst to Joshua the son of Nun. In accordance with the command of the Lord, they gave him the city for which he asked, Timnath-Serah, in the hill country of Ephraim. So he built the city and settled in it. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel distributed by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So they finished dividing the land. Thus reads God's word, and you may be seated. Our text this morning is Joshua 19:51. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel distributed by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So they finished dividing the land. We're in our point in the reading of the Bible at which the children of Israel have finally apportioned the land according to lots, as directed by the Lord God. We have seen that some of the tribes eagerly entered in to take possession of their inheritance, while others held back and were only going forth when they were goaded into it by Joshua. However, each tribe was aware of the land that they were to receive. This was the pinnacle of the generational expectant longing for the time when the promise of God would finally be fulfilled. They now had the territories defined as to the land that they were to inhabit from this point on. All the boundaries were set into place, and what remained was to actually obey the Lord by going into the land and enjoying the fruit of their inheritance. The manner of the allotment of the territory had been earlier defined for us in the book of Numbers, chapter 34, verses 17 through 29. Please open to it so we can read it together. The reason to do so is that the Lord put these names into His word as a means of honoring those who were to make the decisions for each tribe in the receiving of their inheritance. Accordingly, it is fitting to read His word with the honor in our hearts for the task that these men accomplished in their obedience to the Lord under his guidance and under his sovereignty. Numbers 34:17-29. These are the names of the men who shall apportion the land to you for inheritance: Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun. And you shall take one leader of every tribe to apportion the land for inheritance. And these are the names of the men of the tribe of Judah: Caleb the son of Jephunneh. And of the tribe of the sons of Simeon: Samuel the son of Aminahud. Of the tribe of Benjamin: Eliadad the son of Chizlon. And of the tribe of the sons of Dan: a leader, Bukai the son of Jogli. Of the sons of Joseph: of the tribe of the sons of Manasseh, a leader, Hanael the son of Ephod. And of the tribe of the sons of Ephraim, a leader, Kemuel the son of Shiphthon. And of the tribe of the sons of Zebulun, a leader, Elisaphan the son of Parnach. And of the tribe of the sons of Issachar, a leader, Paltiel the son of Azan. And of the tribe of the sons of Asher, a leader, Ahiud the son of Shalomai. And of the tribe of the sons of Naphtali, a leader, Padahel the son of Aminahud. These are those whom the Lord commanded to apportion the inheritance to the sons of Israel in the land of Canaan. We need to give the Lord all the credit for that which he accomplished through the children of Israel in the promised land. This was the course of the promise to Abraham, which established this inheritance for the future generations of his family. It was only by the power of God that there was a people to receive all this apportioned land. It was by the omnipotence of God alone that the nation was enabled to enter into the land and to claim that which God had guaranteed those many centuries earlier, when they were but few in number and were merely a family and not a nation. It is all by the hand of God that we have come to this place in our reading of the history of the chosen nation of God. Accordingly, we should listen as to the heart of the psalmist. He was one of those later descendants who was able to enjoy the fruits of the Lord's promise with a view to all that God had done to bring this into place. He had carried forth his pledge to Abraham. Here is a vital witness to the Lord's absolute faithfulness and trustworthiness to fulfill his pledge unto complete fruition. Please open to the 47th Psalm. We need to be prepared by the Holy Spirit to relish ourselves in the glorious work of God as it is recounted. We must give him the praise and the adoration and the worship of our hearts for all that he has done, is doing, and will continue to do for his people, for you and for me, and for all those whom he has brought unto himself through the giving of his only begotten Son. This psalm is one of those which highlights our call to declare with the every fiber of our being that God alone is worthy of all praise and adoration and glory. Psalm 47. Oh, clap your hands, all peoples. Shout to God with the voice of joy. For the Lord Most High is to be feared, a great king over all the earth. He subdues peoples under us and nations under our feet. He chooses our inheritance for us, the glory of Jacob, whom he loves, Selah. God has ascended with a shout, the Lord with the shout of a trumpet. Sing praises to God. Sing praises. Sing praises to our King. Sing praises. For God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with a skillful psalm. God reigns over the nations. God sits on his holy throne. The princes of the people have assembled themselves as the people of the God of Abraham. For the shields of the earth belong to God. He is highly exalted. The fact is that God is the one who has bestowed our inheritance in Jesus Christ. It is nothing that we can earn or that we can try to accomplish on our own. It is all centered in the death and the resurrection of our Savior and Lord. Everything is fulfilled in Him. Accordingly, we join our hearts to the entreaty of this psalm, and we lift our voices, and we sing his praises with all our being. We honor him with all the worship that he alone deserves. He has made us the nation of God, the true church in Jesus Christ. Therefore, we are called to highly exalt him as Lord and as the King of this, in the entirety of this, his creation. The reality of God being the one who gave and who delivered the inheritance of his people is as well recounted in Psalm 78, 54 and 55. It was God who delivered the promised land into the hands of his people for their inheritance. It was God who drove out those who opposed his plan and purpose in the tribes of Israel. As well, it was God who apportioned that inheritance and who made the nation prosper in the land of his promise. Psalm 78, 54 and 55. So he brought them to his holy land, to this hill country, which his right hand had gained. He also drove out the nations before them, and he apportioned them for an inheritance by measurement, and made the tribes of Israel dwell in their tents. Now, let us consider the inheritance that is ours in Jesus Christ, the fulfillment of all that was in type throughout the Old Testament with the promised land's habitation by the children of Israel. Just as that was all the work and the might of God in absolute and glorious display, so is the life that we are given in this light on this earth in Christ Jesus. We are not alone. We are not forsaken. We are never forgotten. God goes before us with his omnipresence in our hearts and his omnipotence and his omniscience in full display in our every step on this earth. One of the first key truths that needs to be established in our hearts is that as glorious as this inheritance in Christ is in our lives, it is for the sake of the Lord's name in service unto others. We cannot lord our salvation over anyone else because it is only by the grace of God. We cannot place ourselves on some kind of spiritual scale of measurement as more worthy than anyone else, and more deserving of honor than this or that brother or sister. The fact is that we are all where we are in Christ only because of His grace and because of His mercy. The Lord, in Matthew 20 through 28, highlighted this as the mother of the sons of Zebedee, James and John, tried to wrangle some honor for her two boys. They were right beside her in this endeavor, thinking that they were worthy of some greater place of honor in the kingdom of God. Jesus put the whole matter of our place of the inheritance of the grace of God's salvation and service unto others in the forefront of His response. Matthew 20, 20 through 28. Then the mother of the sons of Zebedee came to Him with her sons, bowing down and making a request of Him. And He said to her, "What do you wish?" She said to Him, "Command that in your kingdom these two sons of mine may sit, one on your right and one on your left." But Jesus answered and said, "You do not know what you are asking for. Are you able to drink the cup that I am about to drink?" They said to Him, "We are able." He said to them, "My cup you shall drink, but to sit on my right and on my left, this is not mine to give, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared by my Father." And hearing this, the ten became indignant with the two brothers. But Jesus called them to Himself and said, "You know that the rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great men exercise authority over them. It is not so among you, but whoever wishes to become great among you shall be your servant, and whoever wishes to be first among you shall be your slave, just as the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give His life a ransom for many." The entire matter of setting aside our rights and our places of honor was further delineated by Christ in Matthew 25, 31 through 46. Please open to that passage. Herein, Jesus details what will happen when the time of His return is at hand. There will be those who think that they have truly done that which will earn them a place of honor in the inheritance that they feel they deserve through their good works and their philosophical daydreams. However, only God will be the judge of those who are truly of His calling versus those who are only nominally and socially and religiously doing that which they feel should make God accept them and honor them. They will be experiencing a portion of the inheritance that they want, thinking they have earned much on this earth. The fact is that they will find that they have actually denied Christ. They have done nothing more than exalt themselves in their own eyes while diminishing others as less worthy of their time and their effort. Matthew 25, 31 through 46. "But when the Son of Man comes in His glory, and all the angels with Him, then He will sit on His glorious throne, and all the nations will be gathered before Him, And he will separate them from one another, as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats. And he will put the sheep on his right and the goats on the left. Then the king will say to those on his right, "Come, you who are blessed of my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, and you gave me something to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me drink. I was a stranger, and you invited me in. Naked, and you clothed me. I was sick, and you visited me. I was in prison, and you came to me." Then the righteous will answer him, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry and feed you, or thirsty and give you drink? And when did we see you a stranger and invite you in, or naked and clothe you? And when did we see you sick or in prison and come to you?" And the king will answer and say to them, "Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did it to one of these brothers of mine, even the least of them, you did it to me." Then he will also say to those on his left, "Depart from me, accursed ones, into the eternal fire which has been prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry, and you gave me nothing to eat. I was thirsty, and you gave me nothing to drink. I was a stranger, and you did not invite me in. Naked, and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, and you did not visit me." Then they themselves also will answer, saying, "Lord, when did we see you hungry or thirsty or a stranger or naked or sick or in prison and did not take care of you?" Then he will answer them, saying, "Truly, I say to you, to the extent that you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me." And these will go away into eternal punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. Lest we feel that we might be among those who are cast into the eternal punishment, the Lord makes it very clear how we will be the recipients of that eternal life reserved for those who are the called of God. When the Lord God Almighty works in our hearts and our minds to reveal that absolute need for His salvation and for forgiveness of our sins, He reveals the work that Jesus did on the cross of Calvary. Jesus himself tells us in John 14, 1 through 7, how those who are truly the called of God will respond to that pre-salvation ministry of the Holy Spirit. Christ encourages us not to be discouraged, not to be troubled in mind, but to know that it is God alone who saves us. John 14, 1 through 7. "Let not your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Believe also in me. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. If it were not so, I would have told you, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you to myself, that where I am, there you may be also, and you know the way where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we do not know where you are going. How do we know the way?" Jesus said to him, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father but through me. If you had known me, you would have known my Father also. From now on, you know him and have seen him." Later, in John chapter 17, Jesus defines our inheritance in Him, our eternal life. It is our living relationship with the Father in Jesus Christ. This is the actuality of being made the very family of the Most High and Holy and Awesome Lord God Almighty. He's the Creator of heaven and earth. This is our inheritance now and forevermore. John 17, 1 through 3. These things Jesus spoke, and lifting up his eyes to heaven, he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify thy Son, that the Son may glorify thee, even as thou gavest him authority over all mankind, that to all whom thou hast given him, he may give eternal life. And this is eternal life, that they may know thee, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom thou hast sent. The writer to the Hebrews closes our morning study of the Word with the detailing in Hebrews 4, 1 through 10, of that rest which is ours in Christ Jesus. It far supersedes that which was typed by the allotment and the entry of the children of Israel into that physical promised land. This inheritance of being brought into the very family of God, the adopted heirs of all the vast treasury of heaven in Jesus Christ, is that peace and that rest and that glorious revelation of the manifest joy of the Lord in the Sabbath rest of God in His people. Hebrews 4, 1 through 10. Therefore, let us fear lest while a promise remains of entering his rest, any one of you should seem to have come short of it. For indeed we have had good news preached to us, just as they also, but the word they heard did not profit them, because it was not united by faith in those who heard. For we who have believed enter that rest, just as he has said, As I swore in my wrath, they shall not enter my rest, although his works were finished from the foundation of the world. For he has thus said somewhere concerning the seventh day, And God rested on the seventh day from all his works. And again in this passage, They shall not enter my rest, Since therefore it remains for some to enter it, and those who formerly had good news preached to them failed to enter because of disobedience, he again fixes a certain day. Today, saying through David after so long a time, just as been said before, Today, if you hear his voice, do not harden your hearts. For if Joshua had given them rest, he would not have spoken of another day after that. There remains, therefore, a Sabbath rest for the people of God. For the one who has entered his rest has himself also rested from his works, as God did from his. So be it. These are the inheritances which Eleazar the priest and Joshua the son of Nun and the heads of the households of the tribes of the sons of Israel distributed by lot in Shiloh before the Lord at the doorway of the tent of meeting. So they finished dividing the land. Amen. And the Lord bless all of us this week.